you. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, piping away right here up to the very last second of getting today's show up and running. Man, there's a lot of crazy, I always say it a lot, you know, a lot of crazy things going on in America, and I really want to dig and dive into some of those things. Remember, the scripture tells us that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And we spent some time last week talking about what some of those devices are, and we still don't really get it. We really don't get it. And I got to tell you that I had the most unbelievable night's sleep last night. Man, oh man, oh man. I was worn out from 3 days of physical labor for me. Not that I'm not used to physical labor, but three solid days up at Sky High that really wore me out. And I was grouchy yesterday. Michelle and I were at each other's throats over some different stuff. And boy, I had one of those nights that, boom, you lay your head down and the next thing you know, it's morning. And wow, I just thank God for sleep. And I feel bad for those of you out there who don't get sleep because, man, it's what a refreshing thing. And then another thing real quick. Man, we got a lot of guys who are really walking through some stuff. And I don't know how to make us aware of it here in the queue without exposing what they're going through. Does that make sense? Just know this, folks. However you are in your prayer time, if you even have a prayer time, whatever that is, there are a lot of people in the queue who are really walking through some stuff, really are. And this is a discouraging enough walk. Life can be a discouraging enough walk as it is. My poor wife, every morning, you know, she gets up. One of the first things she asks me is, well, what's going on in the world today? It's, you don't wake up, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We should be joyful as we walk through this battle. I was, I'm going to do that real quick. no, I won't. I'm talking to the Lord. Thank you. Well, with just a lot of struggling going on, all right? Just a lot of struggling. I mean, folks, there is right now, I'm going to get, I just text Stephanie. I'm going to have her come in. Infiltration. I'm going to run with this. Bear with me a second. Infiltration. Remember this, that the Bible says that even the devil, Satan, comes as an angel of light. The devil doesn't come knocking at your door and say, hey, here I am, cancer, here I am, I'm coming in. Or here I am, I'm Mr. Discouragement, I'm coming in. That's not how it works, right? He disguises himself. He comes as an angel of light. And I was doing some prepping this morning with one of the things we're going to talk about is I'm going to try to do a little bit of an expose again of the communist roots of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and help us to understand that we're having a communist revolution in America. It's what's going on. It's not black and white. That's not what it is. And to understand how easily Christians are, what's the word I'm looking for? Deceived. And how easily Christians are deceived against infiltration. We don't get it. I know from a personal standpoint, if I want to talk about personal ministry, the number of people that have come and gone in association with past assault. I'm not saying all of them were infiltrators. Please don't take it that way. But man, been a lot of come and gone. A lot of comes and goes. And so you think about the Christian world in which we live, or the political world in which we live, and it's just even focus in on President Trump for a moment. Can you imagine the infiltration that's probably going on around him? And I remember that, well, I don't, Lord, I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Lord. And a lot of times we have to be very, very careful because these infiltrators come in as an angel of light. And you take in any denomination that you want to. I'm just still having these conversations. Bear with me a second. We are losing and we have lost through infiltration, folks. We have. That the enemy has infiltrated just about everything. You pick, I don't care what it is. You pick the organization. The church has been so infiltrated. My goodness. Government infiltration. Family infiltration. Media infiltration. The devil never shows up and says, hey, my name's Satan. I got a pitchfork and a tail and some horns. And can I come in and join the group? That's never how it happens. Never, never, ever, ever happens like that.
Dave?
Yeah. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, it reminds me of that Kennedy speech that he gave, a long secret society speech. He said very plainly, infiltration rather than invasion.
Right.
Because if you're infiltrated, you don't have to invade. Because you can have evil works from within and will corrupt its or collapse itself, collapse upon itself.
Amen, Chad. So what's happened to us through this infiltration, I've been communicating back and forth with Stephanie, who's our resident ex-pagan. And I, the word came to me about 4 days ago, and then lo and behold, I've been kind of dialoguing back and forth with Stephanie through these phones. And the word came to me about 5 days ago. And that word is chaos. Chaos. And is there a better word to explain what we're seeing in America than that? Chaos. Sheldon, can you go to Webster's and pull that up? Chaos. And in my communication back and forth with Stephanie, she said, well, coach, you know, there is such a thing as a spirit of chaos. Based on paraphrasing, Stephanie's going to, I just texted her, said, can you come in here this morning? She said she can come in here. Step back a minute. Just all of you, just step back a minute and ask yourself if that is not the appropriate term for what we find in America today. Bible says that when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And this is the King James Bible Dictionary. Oh, no, that's not. This is Webster's. I'm sorry. And it says chaos is that confusion or confused mass. Wow, what's that? Think about that. Just stop right there. That confusion or confused mass in which matter is supposed to have existed, but it was separated into two different kinds and reduced to order by the creating power of God. Rudis in gestae moles. I don't know what that means. Chaos. So you think about God. God started with nothing. It was chaos, and God made something out of it. In fact, in Genesis, God brought order to disorder. He brought clarity to confusion. He brought separation into unity. God always works towards unity. Always works towards that. Now, there's diversity, there's division, all that stuff that God uses to work towards the unity. He uses all of those things to work towards the unity. And in the midst of this chaos that we see going on in America today, one of the things that has happened is there is a unity coming amongst God's people. We don't see it yet, see. We call it the separation between the sheep and the goats, right? We talk about that, and churches being satanic social clubs, as Larry said. Larry texted me. Can't be in it this morning. He's got something he had to do this morning. Don't want you to think he's bailed on us. It's a spirit of chaos. Chaos. On June 20th, two nights ago, the longest day of the year, all across America, pagans gathered together. And one of the things that they tried to stir up was what they call a spirit of chaos. Chaos. Remember, God is a God of order. Satan tries to destroy every order of God, the family, marriages, you name it, relationships. The devil is full of chaos. And there is a spirit of chaos that has been loosed on America. Can anybody feel that but me? Anybody feel it? Anybody sense it but me?
Amen, Coach.
I smell it, Coach.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Look at what's going on in the political realm. There's Donald Trump against the Democrats, and then there's the Republicans. They're just kind of over here in a corner, not doing anything. There's no order. There's nothing going on other than the devil's team is, man, they're doing everything they can as the chaos, the lack of order, the lack of unity is plainly evident in the church.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The Republicans are allowing this evil to exist, so they're almost worse.
Vinny, is it because they're under a spell? Do we not understand? Do we not understand spiritual warfare? Look. You know, I don't see a demon behind every tree. That's not what this is about. But if all the pagans in the world got together and they believed in the spiritual power of chaos and disruption, which is all the devil does, and they believe in that power, and they all pray the prayer of agreement over the idea that they're going to breathe and sow discord in the ranks of the church. Are they going to be successful at doing that? Is that what we're dealing with? Have you ever seen a time, folks, when evil is more obvious? That they are going down into towns, breaking windows, burning buildings, writing graffiti, and the police are standing and watching. Have you ever seen anything more chaotic than what's going on in America today? Now, what is this just by happenstance? Or is there something bigger going on behind the scenes that we just don't understand? Are you there, Stephanie? Yeah, hang on. Go ahead.
Just real quick, but she can take off on this. You said a spell. What's a spell if not a delusion?
A strong
If you believe that God himself is going to send a great delusion, then don't you think Satan has counterfeits of a delusion to trick us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Meaning yep. What? Now, hang on a second, folks. Hang on a second. What would be a greater delusion than for Christians to embrace the works of Satan through the Black Lives Movement?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to expose this here a little bit. See, you can all stop it right now. You can stop your racism thing. You can stop it all. Because if you're a Christian, see, churches, folks, listen. Churches should stop even talking about racism. Churches should not even bring it up. Churches should not be even mentioning. If you are a black man and you're going to church and you're holding an ought in your heart against your brother because of skin color, dude, you ain't saved, brother. You ain't saved. And if you're a white guy and you're walking into a church and you're holding an ought or a discrimination against somebody else because of the color of their skin, then, dude, you ain't saved either. And the fact that the pulpit would begin to talk to people about skin color shows us exactly where we are. Because it was Jesus himself said, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no male, there is no female, and none of that. There are no divisions anymore. And what's the church focus on? The church takes the bait of Satan and brings it right into the house of God. That's chaos, folks. That's chaos. It's absolutely stinking chaos. And I got some clips I'm going to show you later on as we get into it. The pastors taking, see, it is the social gospel. The social gospel. It's the worldly gospel. I'm going to expose some of that to you today. Stephanie, come on. Jim asked what's a spell, or not Jim, Mark asked what's a spell? What is chaos? Steph, come on, help us out here, Stephanie. Now look. We don't know if you're telling us the truth. We don't know if you're telling us the truth, but I think you are. I think you know what you're talking about.
I'm just going by what I used to do, and I tell you what, I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are into all different kinds, and I've seen it. I've been to festivals and rituals and watched things, and you don't have to believe it. That's what Satan wants. Just poo-poo it away. Spells. And this chaos magic that they're doing.
It's real, isn't it? Isn't it real, Stephanie?
Oh, it's real. Huh? It's real. It's definitely real. And pretty much what they do is they you take your energy and like your will, your intent, and you put it out into the universe and expect everything to change. And they're claiming that you're doing it by yourself. See, that's the delusion. You're going to do it by yourself. You don't need God to do anything to change it, because you're going to do it yourself using your own mind and your own thoughts. And that's the whole deception. You don't
hang on, Stephanie. Hang on, folks. Let me make a connection. I don't know. Maybe some of you are new viewers to new joiners here in the show. I don't know that. But we talk a lot about the energy that, of the spoken word of God, that God said, let there be light, that there was energy that came forth. When God spoke something, some energy was created, something happened. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. There's an energy that we don't totally completely understand, but there's an energy, obviously, that the dark side is also able to employ, direct, do whatever they want to. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, when we speak things happen, right? The whole idea that as you go around today that you have to wear a mask so people can't see your face, they can't read your emotions. There's an energy that comes off of that. Whether we want to believe it or not, whether we think it's new agey or not, the truth of the matter is we are electrical beings, right? What kills us? Our heart stops. Your heart stops. What do they try to do? They try to shoot electricity back into you, get you gone. So there's something about an aura, a feeling that you get. Remember when you saw those pictures of holy people in the Bible? What did they have around them? They had a halo. They had an aura. There was some energy that Christianity gives off. You know it when somebody walks into a room and they're full of the Spirit of God. And when they leave, you say, oh, my goodness, did you feel that? Wow, I like being around that guy because I felt something happen when I was around that guy, right? That's an energy, an aura, a spirit, right? And so then it must be available to the dark side. Have you ever walked into a room or come up to somebody and felt that dark energy? Said, ooh, ooh. So if that's true, if this energy thing, good, bad, dark, light, if it exists, why are we, the church, so ignorant about it? Why don't we understand what's going on? Keep going, Stephanie.
I wanted to add, too, that they also do, there's what's called, solitary craft, where you just do it yourself. But they also say, the numbers. That's why they join these covens, because you get people together and you speak out your whatever out loud. And that builds more together, just like with the church, how, we with our voices, the spoken word, they counterfeit everything.
Hey, how about this? How about who are the ones that go, who are the hummers?
The monks. The monks.
Yeah,
hum,
yeah. So
pagans do it too. It's called a voice, a throat chanting. I can't do it because I can't go. It's like this weird aboriginal. Like they do it in their throat and it's pretty crazy. You feel it. It's like
creating an energy.
Ever been really close to a bunch of toads in the springtime when they start waking up and you feel it? That's what it's like to be around these people doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Stephanie, how would they, let's say 500 of them got together? Hey folks, if you want to go hear good, encouraging, happy stuff, go watch Joel Osteen. Okay, you go live in that world if you want to. I want to talk about the real world. Okay, so Stephanie, they get 500 people and they say, you know what? We're going to pray. That's not the word they would use. We're going to cast a spirit of chaos all over our governmental leaders, our church. How does that work, Stephanie?
It's very easy. People say, pretty much you get people together and you get that same thought going. Your thoughts create energy. Usually there's be some kind of a fire involved and there'll usually some drums and start kind of slow and there'll be a crescendo in the energy and they call build again what I talk about, the cone of power. When you focus your energy on something, it changes it. When 500 people focus their energy and they all have the exact same intent, and they have the exact same focus on that, and then they send that out with intent to whoever they're sending that to, that gives that side the energy they've been waiting for, the boost, and kind of gives them permission to do what
so
it is.
So, Stephanie, when the Bible talks about Christians praying the prayer of agreement, wherever there are two or more are gathered, he's in our midst, right? Stephanie, does that apply on the dark side? When two or more are gathered, is Satan in their midst?
Oh, yeah.
Is there power? Oh, yeah. Is there power in darkness as well, Stephanie?
Unfortunately, yes, there is, Coach. Yeah.
So this battle that we're wrestling, not against flesh and blood, that's what we're seeing. And so we have seen openly, Stephanie, you sent me a text. Maybe I can get this up on the screen where we can talk, not today, maybe talk about it later. But there actually is a magic, magistic, I'm trying to think of the word to use, of chaos magic.
Chaos magic.
What is chaos
magic? They literally try to, they understand about chaos being this crazy, wild energy, and they try to pull from that, knowing that there's a possibility that, you know, things might snap back. Like, say you want to do a spell using chaos energy for yourself and you want money. You know, like you ask for money. Well, then maybe you get into an accident 2 days later and it breaks every bone in your body, but you got exactly every dollar that you asked for.
Right.
But they don't care, because a lot of times with this, what happens with the magic realm, personal experience, is that you'll get what you ask for the first few times and it seems like it's innocent and that it's all good. And then like that fourth, fifth time is when things start getting a little bit, you know, a little bit of backlash. There's always a give take. If you ask for something, you have to give something.
Can you pray chaos into my life?
Anybody could pray off chaos into anyone's life if they had the evil intent to do so.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion. Yeah.
Do you think there's a spirit of chaos that's been released in America, Stephanie?
Oh, heck yeah. I think the spirit of fear and chaos are running hand in hand right now. The mask brings the fear. The virus brought the fear, and fear weakened everybody. And when you're afraid, it changes your thought process. You don't do things the same. You aren't as brave when you're afraid. You go to fight or flight. What should I do? You do things you wouldn't normally do and think things you wouldn't normally think. And that weakened us. And then chaos kicked the door in because we unlocked it and we let it open with all of these angry, godless people praying to chaos, thinking they're doing something, you know. And
Dale Sosh has been there. Dale's pretty smart. There's some other smart guys in here. Can somebody tell me right now? Maybe you can look while we're still discussing here. Was it Paul who warned us about those who preached a different gospel? Does anybody know where that? Anybody know where that is?
It's in Corinthians. And Coach, here's a crazy thing I was reading yesterday and pondering this morning. The senses are dulled. Their senses are dulled. Paul wrote in Corinthians, he says their senses are dulled to this. And even Jeremiah and Isaiah 6:8-10, oh my goodness, it's their senses. They come with a word of the knowledge. He goes, but they're not going to listen to you, Isaiah. Why? Because their senses are dulled. The church's problem is our senses are dulled.
And could be a direct attack of the enemy upon the church, couldn't it?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, in Greek mythology, chaos was actually one of the three sons of Cronus.
Oh, my goodness. Cronus would be the king, right? Cronus. Chaos was his son.
Good etymology, Coach. Good etymology.
Yeah. We're seeing it, aren't we?
Chaos was the Leviathan.
Time, Coach. Cronus, time.
Cronus is time. Father, time.
Yeah.
And so, folks, the chaos, the confusion that comes with chaos in the church is our problem. Did anybody find where it says that they're preaching a different gospel, that we can get that up on the screen? Does anybody know exactly where that would be?
Second Corinthians 11:4.
See if you can get that up, Sheldon. 2 Corinthians 11. Go ahead, Mark.
Don't forget, Cronos is the God who is fearful of his son overtaking him, and he would eat the heart out of his newborn son. And that's those pictures that are still on the walls in a lot of movies in the backgrounds.
Craig.
Hey, you know, the whole thing.
Hang on. I don't know where I found all you nuts. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, you know, that was that whole thing that I did. I made that lecture called Climate Chaos.
Yeah.
When I was telling you about the four forces, you really, this is really fundamental. You know, there's the weak force and the strong force, and that's just that holding electrons and protons around the molecule. And then there's gravitational force. And remember, the electromagnetic force is 10 to the 35 zeros stronger. And this is an aspect, a fundamental aspect of the spiritual realm. It is a force, but it has electromagnetic aspects to it. And of note, something very interesting, you know, the sun gets, I mean, the earth is not on a trajectory around the sun that it's equal in all times. And around July 3rd or 4th, it's to the closest to the sun, January 3rd. But, you know, the furthest day that it's from the sun is July 4th. I think that's very interesting about the United States and July 4th being the Independence Day and being the farthest away from the sun.
So 2 Corinthians 11 says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. In other words, he says, I'm going to say something that you're not really going to take very seriously, but you better bear with me, huh? I'm going to tell you something that some of you guys are going to laugh at, but you better hear me. Because he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety or infiltration, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, folks, the gospel is simple. Folks, truth is simple and self-evident. The battle's over truth. And we have yielded the battle for truth. We don't fight over truth anymore. See, they've told us to be tolerant and diverse and not judgmental, yada, yada, yada. And all of those things come when you confront falsehoods. You're not tolerant. You're not diverse. You are bigoted. You are, anytime you confront truth, the opposite side of that is going to come to you as if you are mean, or you with me, right? For if he that comes, if somebody shows up in your church and he's preaching another Jesus, love, only Jesus, whom we've not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, you mean you can receive, Stephanie, you can receive another spirit? What? Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, not a capital G, another gospel, which you, hey, Sheldon, there'd be a good word, look that one up, G-O-S-P-E-L, another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with them. Why? Because listen, there are other people going to come. Evil men crept in unawares. That's what's happened to us. Turning the truth of God into a lie. Did you look up gospel, Sheldon? See if you can do that. I'm sorry, is that what I said? Yeah, small g gospel. What is a small g gospel? It's talking about the gospel of Jesus, but it's gospel salvation, gospel of God, gospel of Christ, gospel salvation. A lot of different gospels, aren't there? Huh? The gospel said it had been preached by Abraham, God's word, divinity, any general doctrine. There it is. Any general doctrine. To instruct in the gospel, to instruct in a gospel, any general doctrine. The doctrine of social justice. Okay, social justice gospel. Yeah.
We're getting to Genesis 12:1-3, because right here they're preaching the whole Abraham thing, and they're doing a conflation. Abraham, Israel, right? Even though Israel wasn't a person, it was a land.
Uh-huh. Oh, buddy. Deception, right? You're trying to get me in trouble, Vinny. I'm not trying to get in trouble. I'm talking about deception within the church. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you this, to be let's be God honest here today. The huge mega churches don't spend much time talking about sin and judgment. They don't spend much time talking about that, folks. There's been a different gospel that's come. And we have to remember that Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, what did Alinsky say? Going to make those Christians live up to their own standards. And so what they did is they told those Christians what the standards were. They told Christians what the standards are to be followed. The lost people, when I go to the abortion clinic, when we go to the abortion clinics, I always run into non-Christians telling me how Christians should behave. Now, folks, open your eyes and look around. Is that what the government's doing to us? Is the government telling us how Christians should behave? Real Christians don't hold churches when there's a sickness going around. Real Christians wear masks. Real Christians are concerned about their brothers and sisters. Real, right? Right? Isn't that it? Isn't that part of that deception? Isn't that part of that chaos that's coming? I'm trying to get somewhere today. God, it's 7:30 already.
Amen, Coach. Hey, let me tell you, I found a book. It's called The Problem of Abortion. And what I want to tell you is every social ill has been gatekept, right? There are people on each side dictating the conversation, as it were, right? Keeping the conversation out of the Overton window.
What is justice? Sheldon, there you go, brother. There's another good word to look up. What is justice? And know this, anytime you have to put any modifier in front of justice, it's a ruse, right? Social justice, economic justice, financial justice, whatever. Anytime they put a modifier in front of justice. And our buddy Webster said, equity. The virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Now, social justice will tell you that everyone is due a happy life, a good life, and food and clothing and everything. No, you reap what you sow. That is justice, right? Practical conformity to the laws and to the principles of rectitude in the dealings of men. You don't work, you don't eat. Honesty, integrity in commerce, mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers. They hand out justice, right? Commutative justice consists in fair dealings and trade and mutual intercourse between man and man, right? See, they want to give us justice without Christ. Oh, that was a mic drop. They want to give us justice. They want to give us man-made, politically created justice. They want to take money from me and give it to those who don't work. Because why? That is distributive justice. Right? Right? One thing I see happen a lot. Here's what's happened in churches. Bear with me. All ministries. All churches. We know this. Come on, we know this. Are controlled by large donors. Controlled by large donors. If you got somebody, Coach Dave Live, we have monthly supporters. I'll be honest with you. I can't worry about what they think. I'm glad they support us. I'm glad they give their whatever they give a month. But I'm not going to change what I say for the. I'm not going. They're not going to influence me. Sorry, I'm not going to say, well, gee, if I say that, this guy may not give him. We can't go there, right? I don't go there, but we know that our churches are going there. Our pastors are being controlled by the donors, and we're seeing more and more of outside donors giving money to Christian causes. Why? Oh, money's control, isn't it? Money is control. So we see Dan Cathy, the guy who was the head of Chick-fil-A. He was really, really Mr. Christian, wasn't he? Till the rubber met the road. Then we had to find out really where he stood. And he's been going someplace where they've been talking about distributive justice. Justice without Jesus doesn't work. I'll shut up a minute. I feel somebody. I got a lot to share with you yet.
Yeah, Coach.
Yes.
Well, I want to jump back on the bandwagon here about the
that book you promoted probably a year ago, and that was
Pagan Christianity.
Yes, thank you. And you know, I'm now getting into chapter 8, and I'm finding every aspect of our church service is pagan oriented. And you know, I've asked the question, why don't we have the power that the early church had, that Paul had when he healed somebody with his shadow passing across them? And I'm seeing that we remove the headship. We remove God as the headship, and it's now either the choir director or it's the pastor. He's now the headship, and I think we've lost this power that we're looking for in the Holy Spirit. And that, I mean, it just, I don't know. Okay. It's all coming together to me. We're not fighting the way we should be.
No, men are the head of churches now, not God.
Right.
Sorry, folks.
I will say, from the little things that I hear Dale chime in on, I'd say his church probably is the closest to what the early church probably was.
Yeah, but you can't trust anything. You can't trust Dale. You can't.
Okay.
Okay. So hang on a minute.
Hold on, Coach. You can't trust me, but you can trust the Jesus. You can trust the Jesus. He's absolutely right. When you cut off the head, Jesus is the anointing. It's where the anointing comes from. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It is the anointing that destroys the work of darkness. And this is why we have no power, is because when you cut off the head, you've cut off the anointing in which the power comes from.
Okay. Amen, Dale. Folks, bear with me. I want to make a point here, okay? The only one that can fight evil is the church. We're the only one. The church, body of believers, are the only ones who can oppose and fight evil. And we are not. We've co-opted it. We've co-opted evil. We've invited it into our church, okay? Now, I'm going to show you this. The Black Lives Movement, just bear with me here a second, okay? Click on it. Where is it? The first one. Go to the 1 minute mark. Folks, Black Lives Matter. Hey, hang on. Let me ask a question. Are communism and Christianity compatible?
Absolutely not. You have to hesitate.
Is there anybody out there that thinks communism or socialism is compatible with Christianity? Anybody out there do that? Nobody's going to make that argument for me today, are they? Okay, well, here's a video of the founder of Black Lives Matter. Her name is Patrice Cullors. Patrice Cullors. Let me find it on here. She's an interview. This is a video Andrew Clavin made. And I don't want you to see Andrew Clavin. It doesn't matter. But here is proof that Black Lives Matter is Marxist, communist, socialist, and churches are embracing it. Go ahead and play that, Sheldon.
Percent. You'll hear it. Black lives don't matter. That's the insult built into it. But now you're supposed to support this organization, which is, as I've been telling you for weeks, if not more, is basically just a mask for a socialist agenda. It has nothing to do with making black lives better. Not one thing to do with making black lives better. Because remember, all these people tearing stuff down in Seattle, tearing statues down all over the country, trying to defund the police. They've got this, oh, what a brilliant idea. We'll stop the police from policing. All these people have not said one thing about what they mean to replace it with, except to destroy the family and to introduce Marxism, basically. So here is Patrice Cullors. She is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, basically saying who she really is. It's cut five.
I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories. And I think that what we really try to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many black folk.
So what she's really saying is we are going to utilize it. She says
so they're trained Marxists. They're trained Marxists in how to create chaos, right? Trained Marxists. And what are they doing? Why they're infiltrating the churches. Do me a favor, Sheldon. Play play the video of Carl Lentz. Play Carl Lentz down there.
Right? Hey, Coach, he said to be utilized by black folks.
Utilized by black folks, right?
You know who's utilizing her?
Of course. The
white
enemies.
Folk. Well, the imperial white folk, the elite.
Right. Right.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Wow. Now, look. So here's Carl Lentz of Hillsong Church. Here it is. You tell me whether or not he's embraced. Now, this is 2 years old. Give him credit. It was 2 years ago. But see, 2 years ago, Carl Lentz should have been blowing the whistle saying, be careful, be careful. Go ahead.
Mild statement, because I believe we want to agree with God. We want to be on God's side. My statement was this. For me, I believe that black lives matter. That's what I said. Anybody with a functioning brain understands that all lives matter. Well, anybody. True. But right now, there is a portion of our community that is frustrated and they are suffering and they are hurting. So as an empathetic Christian, I'm going to go and say, I agree with the statement, black lives do matter. But I was glad some people disagreed with me because I kept saying, do black lives matter? Yes or no? Yes, but. I'm like, there is no but. We disagree. Those are the same type of people that would have interrupted Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus would have been like, blessed are the poor. No, Jesus, blessed are all people.
Okay, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, right? Instead of him exposing the roots of Black Lives Matter, he's luring all of his church into it. All of Watermark Church, play the next one. Play the next one. These guys all look, oh my goodness, Watermark Church. I don't know this guy. And in fairness to him, this is also a couple years old, I think. Hang on. These are not watchmen. These are not watchmen, folks. Go ahead.
Don't go, all lives matter. Go this. Go, hey, tell me why you're saying that. Help me understand that. And if they just go, man, I'm telling you this because I'm hurting. It's like when I was a young man, I was married, okay? And my wife, she would just go, man, I don't feel like you love me. I didn't go, well, of course I love you. We got married, what, 10 years ago now? I told you I love you at the altar. I hadn't dated anybody since then. I ain't slept with anybody else since then. I haven't told you I hated you. Until further notice, I obviously love you, all right? She would look at me and go, are you crazy? When she says, I matter, do I matter to you?
Get him
I'm
off
not
of
supposed
there.
To
get
look
him
at
off.
Her and go.
Get him off. He is a gatekeeper protecting people from the infiltration of a communist agenda into our churches. He's a gatekeeper, and he don't get it. But now play Pastor Response, 2 years old. It's 2 years old. We are, folks, Israel's watchmen are blind, Isaiah 56:10. They are all dumb dogs. They're watchmen. They're supposed to bark. They're supposed to see, what does it say in John 10:10? They see the wolf coming. They see him coming, and they run and hide, right? Okay, so here it is. Here's how should Christians view Black Lives Matter. And in fairness to him, it's 2 years old. Go ahead. It's a watchman. This guy's a watchman.
It's not uncommon for me lately to get the question about what to do with Black Lives Matter. I think that's interesting that I'm being asked that, but here are just some thoughts. I think Black Lives Matter was launched from a kind of sincere hurt in the psyche and soul of African-American men and women. And so, like all things, there's going to be really good things in that. There's going to be light and there's going to be shadow. There's going to be darkness. Now,
get him off of my TV show. Get him out of there. Isaiah 56:10, real quick, Sheldon. Isaiah 56:10. Isaiah 56. And then go to verse 10. Yea, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they're greedy dogs. You can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone from his own gain, from his own quarter. Come, ye say they, I'll fetch wine and we'll fill ourselves with strong drinking. Boy, you wait till tomorrow. It's going to be even better than this day. That's the American gospel. Somebody come on in. I got some more stuff. Come on in.
Coach, that Carl Lentz, he's an apostate heretic. That sucker there is okay with gay marriage. He preached down here at Tampa. I called Tim Hill's office. I was squawking about this months ago before this corona and everything else. He's a freaking idiot. I can't believe the Church of God let him stand behind her pulpit.
Folks, you better listen to me. You better listen to me. Sorry, Alan, didn't mean to walk on you. You better listen to me. Because young pastors coming up wanting to be build big churches, they're listening to these guys. These are the guys they're looking at. These are the guys they're looking at. This is who they're learning from, right? And so we understand through the infiltration, the chaos, what's going on, why the church has lost its savor, and that if it becomes good for nothing, we become good for nothing.
Hey, Coach.
Put Bodie Bachman up there real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, you called it the other day about coming after statues of Jesus. There's actually one of these leaders, Sean King, made a tweet talking about wanting to come after stained glass images of Jesus.
That's right. So we're going to stand there and let it happen too, right? Well, Coach, it's just an image. We shouldn't be fighting over the image anyway. This is Vodi Bachum. I don't know if you guys know Vodi or not. That's not true. Vodi is in this clip. I'm sorry. What does the Bible say about social justice? Go ahead and play that, Sheldon.
If the social justice movement went by its actual name, young Christians would not have been lured into it. Because the social justice movement is actually cultural Marxism. There's no such thing as social justice, people. In fact, in the Bible, justice never has an adjective. There's justice and there's injustice. But there's not different kinds of justice.
Social justice is an ambiguous term, but it's never social nor justice. People are put into constituencies and everyone argues over who's privileged and who's not and who's to blame and who owes whom. Not considered are the millions of unborn children slaughtered by abortion. So social justice is less about loving people and more about pushing a particular narrative. The world will always be an unjust place because it's full of unjust people. Only God is just. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, and he will judge the unjust. How can we survive his righteous judgment? Repent and believe in Jesus and you will be saved. All have sinned against God, but you are justified by his grace through faith in Christ. Jesus left his throne in heaven, became a man without privilege, and lived a sinless life on our behalf. He died on a cross to pay for our sins, and he gives his righteousness to those who follow him. So God is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The message of social justice is this: you owe me and I deserve to be compensated. The message of the gospel is this: you deserve death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, when we understand the text.
So, folks, I want you to ask yourself a question. I hear this in a lot. Is Donald Trump a real Christian? Well, I'd say that's a matter of perspective, wouldn't you? Huh? Carl Lentz a real Christian? How do you define that? How do you define what is a real Christian, one who gets heavily involved in social justice? Is that's a real Christian? No, that's what Alinsky and his boys told us a real Christian was. And so the church has adopted it. They've been infiltrated and taken over. Evil men have crept in unawares, Jude 1. Huh? There's only one Jude. Evil men crept in unawares. Get pulled up here, Sheldon. Jude, I'm trying to take you down the road that's just full truth. That's all. Go to Jude, book of Jude. Hang on. God,
can I put just one data point in here? And we all know it, but we need to put it in the back of our heads again.
Please.
Symbolism of the dollar. This is from Angel Fire, which is on the internet. Today's Freemasons have a motto, order ab chao, meaning order out of chaos.
Right.
Nothing is used more successful to create chaos and instill order and the control of money. It is therefore no surprise that sign was placed on a dollar bill in 1933 by 33-degree Freemason President, USA, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Money is control, right? Money is control. Masons control the money. Jude! Just click on Jude. Just click right on, Sheldon. There's only one book in Jude.
Think of all the grand lodges in every community.
Every township, Every township.
Just look for the sign. You'll see it all through every town in America just about has one.
Scroll on down, Sheldon. There it is. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, and called. Let's go to full chapter. Just go to full chapter. Click on that. There you go. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should, folks, earnestly contend for the faith. Do what? Hey, folks, you got to earnestly contend for the faith. You got to contend for it. Why? Because there's an enemy. There's an enemy trying to come in and pervert it. For there are certain men, here comes the enemy. This is who we're contending against. For there are certain men crept in unaware, people we didn't even know all of a sudden, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, the devil sent them specifically for this job. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is what? Without restraint. Just living however you want to. And these evil men came in and said, listen, hey, you can be his Christian and continue to sin. Jesus loves you. He wants you to have a better life. He's happy. He forgives you, all that kind of stuff. And these certain men have crept in, and they've done what? They've turned the grace of God into your best life now. It's people sit around. They read Joel's books. They pat on their churches after him. And here we are right now. I will also there put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, all afterward destroyed them that didn't believe. Who did? The Lord? What? The Lord saved the people out of the land, destroyed them that didn't believe. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. You mean those Nephilim? Yeah. Keys reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And I just got to throw this out there. What is strange flesh?
That's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 9.
Strange flesh. Oh, Lord. Okay, so here's where I wanted to go. Go to my Facebook page real quickly. Thanks, Sheldon, you've done a remarkable job. I keep you jumping around a lot. I hate Facebook.
Sheldon rocks.
But I posted this today because I want you all to hear it. Scroll on down. Right here. Charles Cook, talking about woke Christians. Hey! Talking about those of us who are awake. Right? Go ahead, Sheldon. Can't hear it. I know you're trying.
Because they post their little blog. I want to write an essay that could be a book, Woke Christianity. How weak, cowardly Christians are contributing to the death of America. I call out these pastors one by one. One by one, Benny. Because they post their little black squares preceded by factually inaccurate, baseless information about how they say black men are being gunned down in the streets by our police officers at an alarming rate. Not even close to being true. 10 unarmed black men died last year, according to the Washington Post. They recently adjusted it to 15. How convenient. They adjust it when people start using their data. Let's say it's 15. 15 out of the country are 330 million people. So these woke Christians tell the entire world how good a people they are. And I scroll through their Instagram feed, Benny. I scrolled back to Sanctity Life Sunday. No post about abortion. None. Zero. Nothing. In fact, some would go as far to say, well, we're praying for all issues on the side of abortion. They don't want to offend people when literally a million babies in America are aborted every single year. 1 million. So now if these woke Christian pastors, woke Christianity, they really cared about black lives, wouldn't they care about the 400,000 black babies that are aborted every single year? So you have a million abortions every single year. And about 13 to 15% of the population are African Americans. Take that in half, because only half of that are women that are able to have children. Half of that is about childbearing age. So 4% of the American population accounts for 43% of all the abortions. Do you know in New York City, if you see a black woman who's pregnant on a subway, she's more likely going to the abortion clinic than she's going to the delivery room. The abortion rate is higher than the birth rate in New York City. But the woke Christians, Benny, they tell you we need to stand up for social justice. We need to stand up for the fight for the least of these in society, yet they remain silent on black-on-black crime. They remain silent when black fathers have left the home. Do you know that 77% of black children in America will not grow up with a father in the home? That's according to the Washington Examiner. 77%. Then we send them to failing public schools, where there was an independent study in Baltimore, 13 public schools. They could not find a kid that could do math or read at grade level. So we send them to Democrat-run cartel schools run by the teacher unions. They don't have fathers to come home to. And then these woke Christian pastors that mostly pandered, by the way, to sanctimonious social media activist suburbanites that have a messianic complex that they can come in and fix the world because they posted a black square on their Instagram, where they don't say a word about the slaughter of the unborn in our abortion clinics. They don't mention a syllable about the decimation of black fathers. And yet they stand in their pulpits and they condemn people like me because I dare use data and statistics talking about how, no, actually the police are generally a force for good in America. Do you know that in New York City, in 1994, right when around Mayor Giuliani became mayor, there was about 2,200 murders a year in New York City. That's almost a 9/11 in New York City every single year. Mayor Giuliani says, guess what? We're going to put the police back in the streets. We're going to get tough on crime. We're going to use data to find out where the gangbangers are hiding out. And we are going to arrest them, and we are going to be tough. Murders went down to 324 a year, and they went down as low as 200 a year under the early years of Mayor Bloomberg. Do you know who most of those lives were saved? 2,000 to 300, just about. Those 2,100 people. No, I'm sorry. The 2,100 people? Black people. Black people. Hundreds of thousands of black lives have been saved by police officers over the last couple of decades. Hundreds of thousands. Yet these woke Christians with their black squares are saying law enforcement are killing people in the streets. If you take the multiplier effect of the hundreds of thousands of black and Hispanic individuals that have lives have been saved because of more policing in America, and you take the multiplier effect over a couple generations and the children that they have, you're talking about probably 1 million people of color that are alive over a 30-year window because of law enforcement. And the Christian pastors do nothing to stand up for it. In fact, they kowtow and they capitulate to something that is rooted in a lie. I wish they were 1/10 as vocal for truth as they are cowardly advancing lies and deception in America.
Amen, Charlie Kirk.
I want to write.
Amen, Charlie Kirk. So Coach, what are you saying? We got to open our mouths. We have got to not continue to allow these lies to be perpetuated. It's a falsehood. It's an infiltration. It's a spirit of chaos. We are to speak the truth, not be nice. The churches are sold out. Churches are owned by the devil. Picking up the devil's agenda, desiring to be nice rather than truth.
Amen.
Okay.
Judgment begins in the house of God. That's where it starts. If you're in a church and your pastor's talking about black Christians and white Christians, I'd confront him, or I'd find another church. Because the Bible clearly says there ain't no blacks and there ain't no whites and there ain't no Jews and there ain't no Greeks. There ain't no females, there ain't no males. And none of that stuff, none of that stuff. And pastors get up in the middle of their pulpits and divide, point out what the devil wants them to point out. God, we got some work to do. What a time to be alive. Don't be discouraged today, man. Spirit of chaos is at work. Only the truth is going to set people free. God bless. See you tomorrow.